Well, we're continuing on in our series in Tall Trees and Deep Roots. And just that whole idea of if we're going to be doing what God has called us to do, if we're going to be becoming the people that God has called us to become, if we're going to be living out the truth of who we are in Christ and producing fruit and bringing blessing to this community, we're going to have the roots of our faith deep into the Word of God. Deep into His truth, not the culture's truth, not the truth of today, but God's truth, which is for eternity. And on that, one of the themes that we're looking at is as we were in Uganda and looking at the windy, impenetrable forest and those beautiful, beautiful trees that had such deep roots. And one of the things that really came to my mind was, there are gorillas that are 800 pounds and more that climb up these trees that have to be supported. When my dad came to visit me while I was in Uganda, and it was quite an experience. And we had been having some, you know, he doesn't know the Lord yet, and we'd been having some trouble in our relationship before Julie and I left to go to Uganda. And so I didn't know when he found out that we had adopted the boys, Isaac and Thomas. He called up, he said, "I want to come see my grandkids." I was like, "Fantastic." And then I hung up the phone and I was worried, oh my goodness, which papa's going to come? The happy one or the one who's not so happy? And he came, and I'll never forget, God had really convicted me that during the divorce that had taken place before we left, I had done a good job of honoring and loving my mom, but I hadn't supported and honored my father in the process. And yeah, I was angry, and there were a lot of reasons to be angry. But it didn't mean I wasn't called to love and honor him. So he came, and we had a wonderful time. The first thing he said, or that I said to him as he came, got off the plane, was and came into the home and got there, I said, Dad, can I take you aside? And I took him aside and I asked for his forgiveness and for not supporting him during the divorce, for not honoring him in the process, because he was my father and I hadn't honored him. And I didn't know what the response was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be the laugh. I don't know if it was going to be a swing. I didn't know what it was going to be. But I'll never forget it. He cried. And he said, I'm sorry for everything. The only time I've known my father to apologize to anyone. And it touched me deeply. See, when God moves in power, things happen. And we're going to be looking at the power. One of the things that my dad and I did when he came was, we went and we looked at we hiked up and we saw these giant gorillas. One of only two places in the world where you can see in the impenetrable forest. And it was this, we went to, you know, you hope, you're not promised you're going to find them because they're in the wilderness. And so you hike up and you're hoping for the best. And we hiked up and finally, after climbing up really steep hills and holding on to vines and really working hard, we finally got to a place and there they were. And one of the things, we were going with to see the gorillas, and we were also being protected by other kinds of gorillas from other countries that had killed some tourists in the recent past. And so we had an armed guard with us as we're looking for the gorillas. And so then we get to them and we see them. And on the way up, I'd asked one of the guides, I said, you know, have the gorillas ever attacked anybody? And they said, yes. I said, oh, this is good to know. They said, yeah, a few months ago. Really? A few months ago. A little while ago. Some German men came up and they thought that they maybe had been drinking possibly on the way up because they were kind of loose, trying to be funny. And the thing that you're supposed to do is put your hands down when you see the gorilla if he looks at you and becomes totally submissive. Well, they thought it would be funny to go, woo, raise their hands be aggressive with him, and one of the male silverback jumped at him. One of them grabbed him by the arm, swung him like this around his head, and then went like that. The body went flying, and the gorilla hung on to kept hold of the arm, and he bled to death before they could get him down. So we got about 12 feet from this mountain gorilla, and I took one step closer, and he was lying with his back to me, and he goes like this. Instantly, my arms went down, my head went down, I became totally submissive, took that step back, and man, because I was so aware of the power that this giant 800-plus pound gorilla had. All the children were playing around, multiple females around, and I was aware of the power that was in front of me, and I mean, it was intimidating. And I was just like, when he looked back at me, I was like, oh, no, please don't, you know, and everything goes quiet, still before. Guys, today I want to look at God's unbelievable power. Luke 24:49, it talked about this power of this that God was going to move in power, and it said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. You're going to be clothed with power from God from on high. Acts 1:8, which we covered earlier last week, was, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Man, this power that's been promised, that's coming. Imagine waiting for it. You've heard about it for your whole life. It's been passed down. It's been talking about when the Messiah would come. People have been waiting for the Messiah, and here Jesus came. He died, and he rose again. And he went away, and he's promised this Holy Spirit that he had to go so that the presence of God could be with us in a unique and powerful way. The power that's promised at Pentecost was an extraordinary power. Not a usual power, right? It's an extraordinary power. It went beyond. It included, yes, the power of salvation and the power which we get from to experience sanctification, growing in Christ, coming to faith, and then growing in our faith. But the promise given to support the completion, it's a promise that is given in power to do what? To support the completion of world evangelism to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So this Holy Spirit power is given for what? To bring God's word to the people. That's what the power is about. Let's keep that in mind as we move forward in the scripture that we're going to go over today. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. A couple of things that I see here. First of all, Pentecost. What's Pentecost? What's unique about this time? First of all, it's the first great outpouring that goes on a lot of people of the Holy Spirit, and they're coming to this place. And it was on the Jewish holiday. There would be a lot of pilgrims. See, the Jewish people would come back to Jerusalem. They would come back for this special day. The pilgrims would come back from all the known world. It was one of three Jewish feasts that called for a pilgrimage back to the holy city. It got its name, Pentecost, meaning 50th. And the fact that it took place 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. And so here it is. And the Holy Spirit is coming. It also means this. Pentecost means the feast of what? The harvest. The feast of the harvest. Going back to the Acts 1:8, to Jerusalem, the word will go out to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Salvation, the harvest is coming. the harvest of salvation. And it means God's going to have an incredible outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Have you ever experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? A couple of things that are unique about this. First of all, it says in verse 2, suddenly a sound like a blowing and violent wind came. When did it come? Suddenly. What does that mean? Unexpectedly. The Holy Spirit comes at his time, for his purpose. We don't get to be in charge. We don't get to push before and say, I'll choose the Holy Spirit. I choose a special outpouring, a special working of God. Because this is a unique thing. Where God's Holy Spirit, and we've seen this at different times throughout history, haven't we? Where God seems to work in a unique way. And we see what used to be kind of, oh, praise God, and all of a sudden, we give it names like what? Revival, right? We've seen times in history where a revival comes, and it comes suddenly, and it comes at God's choosing. I think we've got to be careful when we put on the sign, hey, we're having a revival. Really? It's good to want a revival. It's good to want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but it comes suddenly. God comes at his choosing. We can't dictate the timing of the coming of the Holy Spirit that comes in a special way. It's interesting. I was doing a bunch of reading this week, and one of the stories that really stood out to me was Dwight L. Moody, a pastor who from 1800s, later 1800s, and he had been a pastor for a while, and there hadn't been a lot of movement. There hadn't, a few people would come, and a few people had come to the Lord, but he was preaching his messages, he's pouring his heart into it, and not a lot was taking place. And there were these two women who sat in the front row, and they had talked to him a number of times. And they said, Pastor, we feel called to pray for you during the service, but we know something. We've heard from the Holy Spirit, we've heard from God, that right now you're preaching from your strength. And he was annoyed. Every time he looked at them, it kind of zapped his confidence a little bit. Because he's up there preaching, and they're like, we're praying so that you'll actually be effective. What does that mean? Oh, okay. Man. And finally, he came to a place of being humbled. And there was the great fires and during that time, and so much burned down. And at one point, Moody was walking the streets after the fire, and he was walking the streets, and it said that as he was walking the streets, he said, God, prepare me and baptize me. Prepare me and baptize me. And it's not that the next week he came and he all of a sudden glowed as he spoke, and the words became like chocolate dripping off his tongue and the people. It wasn't, his messages didn't change that much. But the Holy Spirit was bringing the message forward. I love what he says here. It says, this is a quote from him, from Moody. One day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred of an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me. And I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me all the world. It would be small as dust in the balance. I love that quote. Man, think about that. what it looked like on the outside wasn't that different. But it was the Holy Spirit ministering through someone, and it made all the difference. Guys, when the Holy Spirit moves, things change. And I want to say this. Am I praying for a revival? Yeah. Do I want a revival? Do we want a revival? Of course we do. We've got a culture right now that is so anti-God, so anti-family, so truth is a lie, and the lie has been replaced with the truth. Up is down, and everything's... To stand for biblical principles, we're getting called all kinds of names. We desperately need a movement of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The Holy Spirit can come on who He chooses, when He chooses. And He moves. And here He's moving in a special outward experience. Because you remember in the Old Testament when God moved in the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day? See, God chooses when He's going to come in and move in special ways. We don't get to control what God does or how He does it or when He does it. He's God. He's God. He's the one in charge. We're the ones who follow. He still does reveal Himself in power. Do you believe it? Just believe that He still reveals Himself today? Have you seen God for yourself? Have you seen the power of God? Has anybody here been healed of something? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally? Raise your hand if something's happened. Don't be shy. It's God's glory. It's powerful when He moves.
Verses 4 and 5. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now we're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And what's it saying? It's saying all these people were back from every nation. And here's these people speaking in tongues. And now there's all these God-fearing Jews from every nation. And being filled with this Holy Spirit here is being overwhelmed with what? The greatness of God. And they start speaking in tongues. And remember, the wind came. Do you remember in the earlier verses? What did they hear? The rushing wind and the tongues of fire. And somehow, on one of the greatest moments of God's outpouring of His Holy Spirit, of God Himself, we as Christians get in arguments about what it means. And we tend to focus on the tongues of fire, the wind. We often look at the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds. We get focused on the visual that we can see rather than the God who is moving.
As the Spirit enabled them, they began to speak in other tongues. Suddenly, something happens that utterly transforms the knowledge, their knowledge of God's presence, into their experience of God. When we come to salvation in God, the Word of God goes from this old book to life. All of a sudden, we have an understanding of who God is. We're transformed, it says, the Word of God says, from the inside out. The old is gone, the new has come. And something has drastically changed. We've been given eternal life. We've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life. Instead of knowing about God, we know God and are known by Him. Do you know Him?
Have you experienced? Homer was saying, guys, celebrate, right? We get to we celebrate sometimes the wrong things. Why? Because we're not in awe of who God is and what God has done. We've become comfortable with God. We've become comfortable with the Holy Spirit. The result of experiencing the power of God coming and speaking is an overwhelming experience of the greatness of God. And what does it lead to? When God moves, what does it lead to? What does it lead to here? In Acts 2, it leads to a passionate and courageous witness of God. It leads to people coming to faith. We see it here, starting in verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Weren't all these who were speaking Galatians? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, both the Jewish people and the non-Jews who had converted to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in what? In our own tongues. What is happening here? They're speaking, and I'm speaking in my language, and you're from another place, and you speak a different language, and you're hearing me speak in your language. That's a movement of the Holy Spirit. How powerful would it be if somebody came who didn't speak English, came in and sat down, and as I'm speaking to you in English, they heard it in their language. And they were able to understand the word of God. We hear them declaring the wonders. What did they hear? Declaring the wonders of what? The wonders of God. It's about bringing the message of God, God's truth of salvation to the people. See, it was intended, this whole thing was not intended to have the focus be on the tongues that came, on the fire, on the sound. The focus was intended to advance the spread of the gospel. That's the focus. All these people didn't speak Hebrew. The speaking in tongues, what does it produce? Produces a harvest. It was Pentecost. It was the celebration of the harvest. Do you think that it was on this day by accident? God chose this special day, a special day to celebrate the day of harvest, to bring the news of the gospel. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But even if the workers are few, God does a mighty work because he's powerful. God will move whatever mountains he needs to move to accomplish his great commission. God will move the mountains. We have a culture that hates God. It used to be kind of, "Oh, that's nice for you." It's gone from, "Oh, that's okay for you," to, "That is evil to say that there's an absolute truth." And now Christians, I mean, guys, if we continue on this path, we see what's happening around the world. We know a few other countries are ahead of us of where this is going. We've been blessed because we've honored God. As we get away from God, you know what's happening? If we continue as a country, as a people, as a nation, as a world, if we continue to dishonor God, there are consequences. But what happens if the church stands? What happens if the people come back to hear the truth of the word? What happens if we, the church, not the building, the church is the people. What happens if we, the church, are prepared and equipped to go into community and live out the gospel and love those around us who don't know Jesus yet and share with them what God has done for us personally? It's a powerful work, guys. And it's what life's about. It's what our lives need to be about. Let me ask you this. Do you love your children? Do you love God more? What happens if we love God with the kind of love? I mean, a parental love, you can't change parental love. I just had a wonderful time with Isaac of sharing with me, Dad, how did you... He turned 21 this last week, and he was just reflective. And he was like, Dad, how did you love me during this time? How did you, what were you thinking? Why did you keep loving us? Look at what I did. It's like, son, you're my son. I couldn't help it. I take such pleasure and joy in you. And when you struggle, I hurt deeply for you. He said, Dad, why didn't you give up? Yeah, he can't. There's something in the heart. Now, that's from a broken earthly father. What about a heavenly father who's perfect, who loves his children in perfect love? And when we mess up, he's saying, son, daughter, come on, come to me, humble yourself before me. I've got plans for you that are good. I've got so much for you. Receive my spirit. Receive the blessing that comes from being in right relationship with me. Yes, you're in faith, but you're struggling because of your sin. Let's get that right. You know how joyous it is when a child comes and asks for forgiveness? As a parent, you see the growth in them. You see you see God working in their life. It's exciting. God moves the mountains that only He can move to accomplish His purpose in our lives. And if you believe that, then live as though it's true. We need to live as though God's truth is truth. We need to stop living as though the lie of the culture, the lie from the enemy of God. We've got to stop living as though those lies are really true, that this life is what matters, that it's about me and mine. Our DNA apart from Christ is selfishness, self-focus. And yet in Christ we get to die to ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. And when that happens, God moves mountains. I love how it ends in the last two verses. It has two words, amazed and perplexed. Amazed and perplexed, verse 12. They asked one another, what does this mean? I think that's a really healthy question. I think that's a question from a right heart. Who's asking this? Well, both the people around and all those who have come. What do we know a little bit later? How many came to faith here? How many thousand? 3,000 come to faith. Why? Because God moves. God moves. And so because God moves, what is this? And so some of the people, when God moves, some of them are asking, what does this mean? And some of them are from the 120, and some of them are from outside the 120. All the people have come back. All the people are seeing what's happening. Some of those 3,000. and others, they're hearing and they're asking the question, what does this mean? God's moving. I've got to be ready. There's a division in the community when the Spirit comes. Guys, there's a division that comes in our community when the Spirit comes. Because some asked, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. I've got to be able to explain the power and the movement of God some way, in a way that my brain can understand it. I've got to put it in a way where I can make sense of this craziness that I just witnessed. God moves in a mighty way. Some are perplexed and some are amazed. Some say, what does this mean? Others said they've had too much wine. Some say, God, I don't understand, but here I am. Others say, I can explain that away without God. And let me do it. Who will we be like? When God moves, guys, when God moves in our church in ways that are unique, we need to cry out and give glory and honor and thanks to God. When we see somebody who's been praying, and they're praying for the job, and they're praying for a job, and we see God open up doors that shouldn't have opened up, and they get work, we got to stop and say, thank you, God. Be appreciative and have thankful hearts. When we see somebody who's sick and praying, we've had a number of people who've had cancer in the last few years, that we've been praying and praying and praying. And guess what? Some of them are cancer-free today. Praise God for that. We need to thank God for when He moves. I also think we need to be a little bit like Moody. I want to end with this. We need to spend some time walking our streets. We need to spend some time. I love the fact that Moody was a pastor just like any other pastor who was struggling giving a message across, who was preparing and praying and wanting good things, and every once in a while would see a little trickle of something. And then God steps in. Why? Because he comes to a place where he's broken before God. Guys, we need to come to a place, both individually and collectively, where we are broken before God, where we're willing to be humbled before him. God, here's the dangerous prayer. God, do whatever you have to do in my life. It's a dangerous prayer. God, do whatever you have to do in my life to break me down, to humble me, to prepare me for your word, so that when your Holy Spirit comes, I'm ready to say, what does this mean? What does this mean for me, God? How can I use my life to serve you? What does it mean? What do you want me to do? What have you called me to do here, today, now, this week, this year? What have you called us to do as a church? Yeah. Guys, for large trees that produce lots of good fruit, the roots need to go down deep into his word, into God himself through prayer, through his word. If we're praying for a revival, if we're praying for our country to be humbled before God, we better get into the Word, and not just on Sundays. We've got to know the Word. We've got to be in the Word, really just saturated with it, so that when the Holy Spirit comes, we're the ones who ask, what does this mean? Not, I can explain this. This is what happened. I want to be one of those who says, God, what does this mean? What are you doing? How do you want us to be used? What have you called me to do? What have you called us to do? Where do we need to go?
How can I serve those in my spheres of influence? How can I serve those at my work? How can I bring the gospel in ways that aren't obnoxious, but are in ways that are me living out my life to where they see Christ in me, where I love them well, even if they're hard to love, where even if they're anti-me, anti-God, I don't take offense. I love them in Christ's love anyway. Who will we be like? I want us as a church family to say, yeah, what does this mean? What have you called us to? Because I believe God's not done with us yet. And the reason I say that is this. Jerusalem, Judea. We're called to bring the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. There's over roughly, what is it, 10? There's 10,000, there's more than 10,000 people groups who haven't heard the gospel yet. I forget the exact numbers. It's a big number. Don't quote me on the number. It's a lot of groups of people. Guess what? God is not done with his work yet. He has called us to ministry. He's called us to go into our communities. This community that we have touches so many, many, many worlds. So many countries, so many people groups. Man, if we reach out in our backyard, the gospel's going to keep going out and out and out. It's not just about the missionaries going. It's about us sharing with the people who share with the people who share with the people who are from a people group who a person goes home and he already speaks the language and knows the culture and he shares the gospel. Because something happens when the people come to one place, prepare, and then they go back home. Do you think these people who came to Jerusalem, guess what happens after they get saved? Guess what happens after the 3,000 come to Christ? They go back home. They go back and the gospel goes with them. And the church moves around the world. Praise God. If we're faithful with what God has called us to, we will reach the ends of the earth. Look at what 12 did. 11 and a pinch hitter. Man, look how far the gospel's from one starting. And it keeps going and it keeps going. I want us to say to God, when he moves and he moves miraculously, I want us to say, what does it mean, God? What do you have for us? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you're not only loving, but you are powerful. You are holy. You want holiness to be enjoyed by us through your Holy Spirit working through us. You want your people to be broken before you, humbled. And as a result of being broken before you, being filled with the Holy Spirit, God himself, you, so that we can be powerful in our community in ways that move mountains that seem impossible to move today. Father, I've seen you transform some of the most hardened heart people that I've known and bring them to faith in you. Some of the people who used to hate you with such passion that I know personally who now love you and minister in your name. Lord, we pray that for those that we love. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to humble the people in our lives. We pray for those, our fathers, mothers, cousins, nephews and nieces, sons and daughters, who don't know you yet. Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray that we would be able to live out our faith in front of them in ways that bring honor and glory to you.
Forgive us for where we fall short, and we all do. But Lord, we pray to be used by you. Lord, we pray for our country. Father, we are so divided right now. There's so much hate and anger in our world today. Lord, we pray for your love, for your truth. Lord, we know that men and women won't change the world for utopia. You, God, have the power to transform. And so we don't put our trust in human leaders. We pray for them. We pray that they would be moved by your Holy Spirit. We pray that they would be humbled before you. But Lord, we don't trust them. We trust you. And we pray that you would move. You would move in this country, that you would work, that you would pour out your spirit upon your people. And we would see a coming together and a brokenness and a humbling before you. And we would see your Holy Spirit move and transform our nation, Lord, our world. We pray for salvation, for transformation of our people who are so broken and hurting. We pray for peace and joy to replace that pain and that peace and joy that only comes from you. Show us, Father, show us how to live in a way that says, God, we're here for you. Whatever this means, whatever you're doing, we're with you. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.